Put it out there to any handyman. If anyone can know a way of maybe lowering this somehow, I was thinking it'd be cool if it had wheels on, so that didn't happen again. Just put it out there, any handyman who, or someone who wants to buy one that is shorter in wheels, either way, but I reckon someone could fix this. I don't know. Anyway, just putting it out there. I believe in you. Yeah, pray for the children as they head out. I love that set of song, by the way, of, you know, real focusing on the worthiness of the Lamb as we enter into Holy Week, as we prepare in our hearts. You know, next week is Palm Sunday, and then we enter into Holy Week as we just prepare our minds and hearts to be thankful of all Christ has done, as worthy is the Lamb that was slain for us. And just beautiful song choices there for us to really reflect on and just praise with. Let's just pray. The kids are heading out, and prepare our hearts. Jesus, we thank you for this time of just praise, just responding. That's what we're doing, responding to your goodness, your faithfulness, your beauty. And Jesus, we just thank you for all that you've done. Help us just to continue as a body, respond, just naturally respond to you. Jesus, we thank you for the children. We pray you just bless them, that they grow in a mighty and powerful way in your name. Jesus, at this time of their teaching, just bless them. Just bless them in a mighty way. Father, as we just come before you, let us be just aware of all that you do locally and around the world. And there's so many needs around this world, Father God, and we hear of disasters, and, you know, just in Colombia as well, with reports of 200 deaths with landslides and stuff. Father God, I pray your church just responds in a mighty way. I pray around the world where there's disasters and there's terrible things going on, Father, we just ask that your church arise. Father God, that you just, you are over it, but Father God, we ask that you just work in a miraculous way in lives. And we as the church, help us respond. Help us respond, Jesus. And Father, as we look at your word right now, we just pray that you open our hearts and minds, that this be all for you. You use me despite my many weaknesses. Father, this just be for your glory, Jesus. In your name. Amen. So in the readings that we've been doing this week, we come across in Malachi. And so that was Thursday's reading, I'm pretty sure it was. And so I just felt, naturally, it can finish almost a trilogy for me. You had Jen last week, giving you a little bit of a break. 2 or 3 weeks ago, we looked at sexual immorality. Then we looked at gender roles in church. And so this week, we're going to go for it and look at tithing. And so I thought, let's bunch them in a three, and you can decide which one makes you squirm more and makes you more uncomfortable. But because it's in our reading, I can't be blamed of, oh, pastor wants to talk about money. Well, actually, we're going to look at what's in the Bible, and as we've read about it in our weekly readings, then I feel it's appropriate, let's talk about it. But with the emphasis on, is it still relevant? Should we be doing it? Now, we've kind of already taken the offering, so you're kind of like, well, I kind of guess. But why do we do it? So we're going to look at these kind of questions. But before I do, I really want to just mention, just for a couple of moments, a passage in Mark, which I think it might have been today's reading. And because for me, it's a real heart of the message of the story of God that we have in here in Mark's reading. Please, if you've not read it later on in Mark 2. This story of the paralyzed man lowered to be with Jesus. I love this story. I just absolutely love it. You see, you've got these friends, these guys who have a real love for their friend who is paralyzed. Now, he's paralyzed for a long time, but these guys journey with him. They care so much about him that they hear about Christ. They hear about a miracle worker, that they care so much about their buddy that they don't give up on him and go, well, he's been like that for a while, so he's going to be like that forever. No, they continue, so much so that they're willing to break another dude's roof to lower this guy down to be with Jesus. And it really makes me think, who is either in our lives or in our congregation that we need to continue journeying with. That maybe there's a temptation of, well, they've been that way for many years, they're going to continue to be like that for many years. Maybe they used to attend. Maybe they've never attended. Maybe they've never had a conversation about Christ, and it's so easy to go, well, that's just their way. Or maybe it's someone who just needs a physical healing. And we're like, well, I don't know what to say to them anymore because they've been like that for a while. Or, I think this is a beautiful story of perseverance, of love, genuine love for someone to meet with Jesus. And when this paralyzed man meets with Jesus, this is the story of God right here. What's the first thing that Jesus did? He says, your sins are forgiven. Everyone was expecting the whole healing bit. You know, hey, get up and walk. Next. But the first thing was, your sins are forgiven. Because the priority is for him to know his Savior. It's the soul. It's the everlasting. You see, healing in itself is temporary. Healing the flesh is temporary because it may give you another 20, 30 years. But if you don't know Jesus, then it's still going to end right there. But here's the story of God, of the heart of God is for you and I to know him. To know him in a powerful way. And here this paralyzed man and his mates and all that heard had the opportunity to meet him in a powerful way, to have their lives restored, changed forever and ever in that moment. And for me, that just that short passage in Mark 2 just gives this beautiful picture of the heart of God, of his desire of every single one to know him. And I tell you something, if that doesn't make you want to respond in praise and worship, then something's wrong. Because that's grace. That's love right there. And that's why we come and respond. That's why we live our lives to respond to him. And that's where we lead into talking of our giving. Because as we read here in Malachi, we're going to see that actually it's all about a response. So we're going to read Malachi chapter 3, verse 8 to 10. It reads this, should people cheat God? Yet you have cheated me. But you ask, what do you mean? When do we ever cheat you? You have cheated me of the tithes and offerings due to me. You are under a curse, for your whole nation has been cheating me. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, so there will be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord of heaven's armies, I will open the window of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great, you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it. Put me to the test. What you got to understand first is, what is tithing? Well, what are they doing here? Well, with tithing, we go back to Leviticus, Deuteronomy, Numbers, all those fun books that we all love to read. And the command and the law of God is given to us to respond to him with what has been given to us. For example, here in Leviticus 27, it's not on the screen, but you can just hear it here. It says, one-tenth of the produce of the land, whether grain from the fields or fruits from the trees, belongs to the Lord and must be set apart to him as holy. If you want to buy back the Lord's tenth of the grain or fruit, you must pay it value plus 20%. Count off every tenth animal from your herds and flocks and set them apart for the Lord as holy. You may not pick and choose between good and bad animals, and you may not substitute one for another. But if you do exchange one animal for another, then the original animal and its substitute will be considered holy and cannot be brought back. So tithing was a clear commandment, is you give that first tenth. Just give him the animals with three legs. He'll be fine with that. Or let's, you know, give him the loose coins, or let's just give him that wheat that no one else really wants. No, it's that first act of faith. Here's that first response. And this tithe would be given to God in sacrifice. It would be given to priests to live on. It would be given for feasts and festivals. But ultimately, the tithe was a set of worship. It is worship for the Israelites to thank God. It was acknowledgement to say, God, you are the creator. You are our provider. You sustain us. We acknowledge you. And that's what they did, is they acknowledged God by saying, first 10%, that's straight away, that God, that is yours. Because we acknowledge you, you're the one who created this earth. You're the one who's given us all this produce. We didn't create it. You gave us the ability to work the land, and we thank you for that. But we just want to respond and acknowledge to you. So the first question is that still relevant today? Should we acknowledge God? Yes. We should 100% in your lives acknowledge God. Now you may say, well, I don't work in the fields. I'm not a farmer. Well, who gave you the brain to work in the job that you're in? Who gave you the hands to do the amazing crafts that you may do? I mean, we may think we're good, but we ain't that good. We didn't create ourselves. We didn't create either the harvest or the lands, or even if you work in hospitals, thank God that he's given you that capability, or whether you work in taxes, thank God that he's given you the brains to work there, or whatever you may do, and I'm still learning what some of you do, and I think I've heard about 3 or 4 times, I'm like, what do you do again? You know, some of it's so complicated. It's amazing, and we thank God for you. I'm simple. I just come up here and tell you about God. It's fairly great, but here's the thing. We did not create ourselves. So if we even start a conversation with, well, it's mine, I earned it, I deserved it, I did it all, that's arrogance. It's arrogance to even get to that conversation, to even, not even acknowledge your creator, the one who provides. So is it still relevant to acknowledge God in what we do and what we bring? 100% it is. And if your attitude is not, then you need to check that out. Because we must acknowledge God as our creator. Tithe is also used as an act of trust. Trusting that God will provide. Is that still relevant? 100% it is. I mean, we look at what Jesus teaches us of not to worry about tomorrow. We look at Jesus' teaching of store your treasures on earth, not in heaven. It's trust in me. See, what happened here in Malachi is they kind of went off course a little bit, or a lot. It is they took their focus off God and they focused on the tithe. You see, the whole point of tithe was worship. But what they focus now on is, well, do we really need to give this? Well, what if we give a little bit less? Or, well, if there's going to be a famine, which there were lots of famines that went on, if there's going to be a famine, we need to, don't give to God, we need to do something else with it. Their focus went off the purpose. They lacked trust. And so we look at it today as, should we trust God? Yeah, he's still God. He's still on the throne. He's still Lord of all. Yes, we should trust in him. So far, when we're looking at the heart of tithing, even just in the Old Testament, we're saying, well, actually, the heart is still the same. We're still to acknowledge. We're still to trust. And we're still, as it is, worship, to continue to worship. But then we look at the New Testament. Because the question quite often put is, or the statement is, well, I don't need a tithe. It's not in the New Testament. Well, let's go there. Luke 11, verse 42. There's not chapters 42 in Luke. You're like, whoa, he's added to the Bible. Anyway, Luke 11, verse 42. Woe to you, Pharisees, because you give God a tenth of your mint, rue, and all other kinds of garden herbs. But you neglect justice and the love of God. You should practice the latter without leaving the former undone. What Jesus is clearly saying here is continuing tithing, he says, without leaving the former undone, but focus on the love. You see, what these Pharisees were doing is so focused on the tithe element. Look at me, I tithe. Look how good of a follower I am, I tithe. Look what good of a Jewish person I am, I tithe. They bragged on the tithing, but Jesus saw the heart, and the heart was somebody on people that didn't love, that didn't have compassion, that didn't fight for justice for all. He's not saying, forget the tithing, focus on that. He says, do both. That's the expectation, do both. So if someone says to you, well, Jesus never says anything about tithing, there's a verse straight away. Do both to respond to God in acknowledgement and thanksgiving and trust in him, but then look at the people. You see, sometimes we flip it and we're also almost just as bad as these Pharisees. It's sometimes easier to give money than it is to deal with the issues and the people. It's sometimes easier to give money to a charity for someone else to do the mission, to do the work, than it is for me to go, actually, I want to go and make friends with that person. Actually, I see some injustice there. I want to do something about it. This subject, I'll be honest, is a kind of a difficult one when preaching to ultimately a church that is very generous. We are blessed. But I think here's a challenge for us all, including myself, is we are great at raising funds. We've got an amazing heart. If we have a missionary coming here, and we have, like we did at Christmas, and they are so blessed and thankful for that in Albania, you know, and other times, we are so good at that, and we should continue doing that in blessing. But then this is why we've got this afternoon of talking about how we physically reach out to people. Because that's the challenge right there. That's the challenge. Sometimes it is just easier. Well, I'll give you money to go there. I'll give you money, pastor. You go there. I'll give you money, missionary. You go there. Jesus is clearly saying, actually, you do both. If you want another Jesus example of giving, we look at Mark. And in Mark chapter 12, verse 41, we get this beautiful picture of this widow's offering. Jesus sat down near the collection box in the temple and watched the crowds drop their money. Many rich people put in large amounts. Then a poor widow came and dropped in two small coins. Jesus called to his disciples to him and said, I tell you the truth. This poor widow has given more than all the other who are making contributions. For they gave a tiny part of their surplus, but she, poor as she is, has given everything she had to live on. If you want a picture of Christ in regards to offerings, here it is. It's not a focus on the amount, it's the focus on the heart. Here this widow only had two coins. That's all she had, but she so desperately wanted to acknowledge her Creator. Acknowledge and be thankful that God, you have given me life. You've even blessed me with these two coins. You've given me the ability to live. I just want to acknowledge you. Jesus says, that's where it is. There's the heart. There's this lady just pouring it out there. She acknowledges, she gets it. She acknowledges that God is over all, that she has life everlasting in him, and she's just wanting to respond the way, any way she can. And so all these rich guys are going in and putting in their bits and pieces. That's great. He's not rebuking them. He's not running after them. Don't do it. It's irrelevant. Don't do it. He's not saying that at all, but he is blessing this widow who was given everything. That's where he's setting the bar right there. I mean, that's a pretty good challenge right there. Is she's responding with everything she has. And he blesses that. But it's not about the money. It was about the heart's desire. It was about the response. You see, the great thing about being a pastor in the Nazarene denomination is Jen and I have zero idea who gives what. We have zero idea of who gives what. I love that. Because there is no temptation on me to go, Wow, Bob, he gives so much. I need to seek his approval on this. I need to keep Bob happy because he's a big player. I'd like to think I wouldn't, but there'd be definitely a temptation. Oh, Mandy, she don't even tithe. I don't care what she thinks. I need to keep Bob happy. I'm so thankful. That's not even a temptation for us. I'm pretty weak. I might be like, ooh, no. But there's not even a temptation for us because we have zero idea of who gives what, and that's the way we like it. Because then we can preach evenly and teach evenly and love evenly. It's not about the dollar. It's about the heart's desire. It's about you and God, your response to him. People may ask, do you tithe before tax or after tax? What is the... You know, if you're asking those questions, we're thinking too hard about this. We really are. If we're kind of trying to work it out, should do before or after, we're thinking too much about it. It's spending time in prayer. It's looking at other scriptures in the New Testament. So 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 2, Paul talks about a percentage between you and God. Work it out. Spend time in prayer and just look at those, your finances. What is on my heart to give? As a rule of thumb, churches quite often say, start off with the 10% and go from there. Between you and God. No response. I see in the Bible, no response is not an option. That's all I'll say. That's kind of clear there. A response is required. But that's between you and God. Sometimes it's kind of good to look at it and go, maybe that figure. And when you have that figure, you go, well, I noticed that. And if in your heart you go, I won't even notice that, that's okay. There's a challenge. Notice it. That widow noticed it. There's the challenge. Notice it. 2 Corinthians, Jen mentioned it earlier, 9 verse 7 talks about cheerful heart. Again, it comes back to that heart. You and God. If the bucket is coming past, bucket, the plate. Might bring the bucket out next time, I don't know. But if the plate comes past, and you're kind of going, oh, fine, I'm in church. Or if you're at the back of church with the chip and pin machine, and you're kind of like, oh, fine, I'm in church. And it's not cheerful, it's not a desire of, absolutely, it's worship. I want to acknowledge you, God. Then here's the thing, if that's you and you're doing it begrudgingly, and you really don't want to do it, don't do it. Don't do it. It's between you and God. If you're at that place and going, nope, I hate this, don't want to do it, don't. It's between you and God. I'm just saying what Scripture is saying. I'm just saying the heart of God here. It's between you and God. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 18. It talks about supporting those leaders. Quite often, some people may come and say, oh, don't give to the church. You should be volunteering. There are so many great pastors who are volunteering. And here's the thing. We accepted this leadership with zero idea of what we'll be on. Same when we accepted in Wales. We accepted and then found out if we'd even be paid. Now, that's the reality of it. I remember walking around the town in Wales, and the day after we accepted it, and Jen and I were talking of, we have no idea, and I said, I'm happy to work at this place, it's like McDonald's or something. I said, happy to work here. God's called us here. We are so blessed by you guys and for others who support us, and we thank you for that. But just to keep you at peace, it's also biblical, so we're good. But we can honestly say, and thankfully say that we accepted the call here, not knowing. Same with in Wales and even the church before that. And again, that's the way we like it. It's a calling. But we thank you, we are blessed, and we thank you for that. If you want a real radical story, let's look at early church. Let's look at Acts in chapter 2. These dudes sold everything. I mean, if we're looking at generosity, these guys in the early church, the rich and the poor, all joined in together, sold everything they had, put it in the middle, and said, let's live on that. They invested, not just financially, but they invested their lives. That's the heart of that message. I mean, I love you all. Would I want to live every day with you? Oh, some maybe more than others. Oh, I don't know. Don't mention names. But what they did in the early church is they didn't save up and then pay someone to do the dirty work. They financially invested and then invested themselves. You're like, that doesn't even make sense. Surely we should just save up and pay someone to do the work. No, that's not what they did. They, in the early church, in chapter 2, they sold everything they had, and then who went and feed the poor? They did. Who went to pray with them? They did. Who did the healing? They did. Who fought against injustice? They did. They didn't hire off. They invested financially, but they invested in themselves. One of the big things that is shared and thoughts put to is, well, I give to a church, or here's the second part, I'll give to the church when we start doing this or start doing that. Especially with my generation. A lot of my friends back in the UK, that's a lot of conversations we had. Or when we start doing this, what I want, then I'll give. No, miss the point. Response to God. Response to God. There's the point. The heart is, my response is to God. But this is great. If you're saying, if we do this or do that, great. Because what you need to be doing is giving financially, of just responding to God, but then also giving of yourself. So if you're saying, I'll give when we do this, great. Do it. You're the church. Join us in the conversation that we're having afterwards. You're the church. It's, Jesus says, it's both parts. Like the new church, the early church, both parts, they invested in what they had and what they were blessed with, trusting in God, responding in worship to him, but then also investing their lives, giving their lives. The church has responsibility. There is absolute responsibility for us as leadership, as board, but also as the people. We need to be a church that is willing to invest in the people, train up, equip, send out. There's a responsibility for us as a church to fight injustice, to feed the hungry, to build relationships, to show Christ to all. We, collective we, have that responsibility. And that is our, I was going to say challenge, but it's a positive challenge. It's an exciting challenge to be investing, to be equipping, using our spiritual gifts that God has given you. And we thank him for that. We need to invest, build up, send out. But the heart is on response to God. And it goes back to that chapter in Mark of how gracious Christ is. We sang, holy is that Lamb. He is awesome. He is the one who died for us, that slain. He took that penalty for us. We have freedom in him. We have life because of him. We believe in healings because of him. We have life everlasting because of him. We should respond with all that we have to him. I want to close with, before we sing our final song, is the musicians can come up and play quietly, but let's have a response in prayer. Too often we can sing the last song, we say the final prayer, and it's like Wendy O'Clock. We all run off to get our food and poof, it's gone. Let's spend some time responding. Just stillness. There may be many of us who've came here who needing a touch this morning. Maybe you've been feeling spiritually dry. And you just need a touch from God this morning. It finishes here in Malachi with, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I'll pour out the blessings so great you won't have enough room to take it in. Put me to the test. Maybe you don't give enough time to be blessed. Let's allow some time for just to be filled by God, be uplifted by Him. The altars are open. Feel free to come, whether on your own behalf or somebody else's. Let us pray as a church body. Let's pray for one another. We'll just have some moments of stillness with just the music playing for sure. I said this time is open for a response of prayer. If you've had a real rough week, month, year, whatever it might be, or for someone else, that your heart is just burdening, respond in prayer either way you are. Or, you know, coming to the altar is a response. It's a physical getting up and coming, kneeling before Him. Just come before Him, Jesus. It might be a challenge of what's been said, or maybe it's just something that's been on your heart. Lift it up. God, as we just come before You, we thank You that You are the giver of life. You are our provider. You are our King. You are our Savior. We thank You, Father God, that You gave Yourself to be here with us, and You give Your Spirit to be here. We are not alone. Father God, there are some here today that I'm sure feel alone. Jesus, I pray that just draw close to them right now. That those who may feel a bit dry, a bit distant, Father God, help them know that You are God that is with them and for them. You are journeying with them, Lord God, and help us set our eyes on You, Jesus. Lord, we are sorry. We are sorry when we don't give You enough praise, acknowledgement in our life. Forgive us, Father, of holding things to ourselves, our abilities, our all. Father, help us just use that to acknowledge You and praise You, Jesus. Father, help us be a body that just journeys with each other. Like those friends with the paralyzed guy, just Lord, help us be a church that just journeys with one another through thick and thin, that we don't give up on each other, that we know that our Savior is with us. Help us to bring people along to meet You, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Father, we thank You. You know our heart. Jesus. Help us just respond each and every day to You as we reach out in the community, reach out into the world. Help us to reach out, Father God, with you. Jesus. We give you these things. We give you those people on our heart, and we give you ourselves. Holy Spirit, we thank you. Jesus. Amen.